And when I tell you something here, it's I have researched it. I spent some time on it. John 6 and verse 63. Toll. Numa. Esten. Toll. Zoop. Poyun. Hey. Sarks. Ook. Ophele. Udane. Ta. Remata. Ha. Ego. Lala ke. Himen. Numa. Esten. Kai. Zoe. Heston. There's a lot of words here in this verse that come down to us in the English language. A lot of them. To pneuma. The Spirit. The Spirit. The word Spirit is a neuter word. But the Spirit God is a masculine person. But you cannot say that this word is masculine. Sometimes the writers refer to this Holy Spirit as in a masculine personal pronoun. But the word Spirit is neuter. Okay? Because Spirit is a neuter word. It doesn't mean theologically he's a neuter person. Alright? But the word Spirit is a neuter word. Alright? The Spirit. The pneuma. We get our word pneumatics from that. What is pneumatics? The study of air pressure. We have a lot of air tools. How many of you ever used an impact wrench, an air impact wrench, that you have an air compressor and it goes in there and hammers and takes off lug nuts or bolts or whatever out of things, and you've got little ratchet wrenches and everything that are run by air. Sometimes you have an air grinder, an air drill. These are all pneumatic tools run by air, okay? And that is pneumatic tools. That word pneumatic comes from the Greek word pneuma. There, you already knew a Greek word, didn't you?
Elevators are pneumatic, I think.
Yeah, some of them. Some of them are cable, some of them are pneumatic, some of them are hydraulic. Yes. And the word hydraulic comes from the Greek word hydra, which means water or fluid. Mm-hmm. All right? To pneuma esten, the Spirit He is. All right? Now, we know that we can't see the Spirit it is, but the Spirit He is. Because we're talking about God. We're not talking about the neuter word Spirit, are we? We're talking about the God of heaven. The third person of the triune God. There aren't three of them. It's one God. We're talking about the Spirit God. Spirit God. Okay? Like in the Old Testament, it's the Spirit God brooded over, hovered over, worried over the faces of the deep. Literally. From the Hebrew. The Ruach. In Hebrew, in the New Testament, it's Numa, Spirit God, okay? The Spirit, He is. And then it says, look at here. Now we have a participle. We have nominative or accusative, but actually this is a nominative case. It's singular, and it's neuter, again. Because this, see the definite article there in front of it? That's the neuter definite article. That's a nominative. Over here we see a nominative. And this is what you call a predicate nominative again, too, isn't it? The same thing, this linking verb is, he is. And both things on side of that are both number, gender, and case the same. Alright? The Spirit God is equal to the one making alive. Okay? Our Spirit God is, He is the one making alive. Spirit God, the Spirit God, He is the one. Now, when we say the one there, there is no the, and there's no word for one in there, but that's what you call a practical substantive. Something that stands in place practically. Mm-hmm. It's known. You don't have to say the one there. You don't have to have an out to. You don't have to have a third person pronoun there or anything, because it just stands in. The Greeks knew that that was talking about the one. This same one over here, the Spirit. The Spirit, He is the one making alive. You could say that. There's no he there, but that's a practical substantive, okay? The one making alive.
The thing making
alive. Well, not the thing. He's not the thing. He is the one. He is a person, all right? He is. When you translate Aston, the third person is he, she, or an it, isn't it? Now, we know that the person, the Spirit of God, Spirit God, is not an it. He is he. Because the Son and the Father are both he, and that triune God, there's not an it in between them somewhere. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. He is the one making alive. That's nominative or accusative, but it's nominative here. Singular and neuter, and is present, participle, and active. He's the one making alive. He is the one. He is the power in God that made every person live. Remember I told you in the Old Testament that God created Adam not from the dust of the ground, but as he created the dust of the ground. And it says that God breathed into Adam the breathings of lives. And then he breathed blood into him, and he became a living being. And he breathed lives. Every life that would ever be born on this earth was breathed into Adam right then. That's the origin of it. Every life that ever would ever be born, and in blood is the life, the Bible says, was breathed into Adam right then. Now the Holy Spirit of God is the one that also breathes into the dead flesh. Alright? The dead flesh, people that die, your body dies and goes to the grave. And it says in the resurrection that all the bodies in the sea and in the dust of the earth or in the dust of the sky or wherever it is, God's going to bring it back together and stand it again. That's what the word resurrection means. The Russian word Anastasia, that princess over there, that her name means the resurrection, to stand again. Anna, again, Stasia, to stand. Anastasia, to stand again. It is the Holy Spirit that is going to make alive, present, participle, and active. He's going to be doing it. You know what? Every time that God saves a soul, He makes alive a spirit in that person. That spirit is born again. And from God, from the blood of Jesus Christ, that uncorruptible blood that Jesus Christ, that holy blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary, the kind of blood that God breathed into Adam that became corrupted, but that was not corrupted through the woman, because the blood didn't come from the woman. As in Adam, all died, but not an Eve. And when Adam named the woman, he was told that they were all going to die. And then Adam turns around and he says, the name of the woman shall be called the mother of all living. Now she was, if you look at it in one way, she was the mother of all dying, wasn't she? Everybody that come from her, every person that came from her womb would die. And they did. Except Enoch and Elijah. Okay, exceptions to the rule. That's a type of the rapture to come in the last days. Making alive. The flesh, the sarx. 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 That's the Adamic flesh. You know, God in this world doesn't even provide for the flesh. Do you know that? He doesn't save your flesh when you're born again. He saves your spirit. The flesh dies. It dies. There's no provision to keep that flesh alive forever. Is there? All men die. But after you die, then He resurrects and makes alive the flesh. But it's got to die first. And then it says here, ook. That word ook, that's an adverb of negation, by the way. Not. And then we get the word ophile. Ophile. That's third person singular, present indicative active. And it's ophilo, ophiles, ophile. That's how you conjugate that verb, okay? Ophilomen, ophilete, ophileusi, ophilein. If you go through all of the conjugation. Oase, omeneti, usiein. That's the endings of this present indicative active, okay? Right there. Third person singular, present indicative active. Not it profits. Not it is profitable ever. Not it profits, not is profitable ever. Not one thing. Uthane. Uthane. That little en on the end is one. That day is a weak adversative conjunction, and the front part of that word is not. That's made of three Greek words. It comes from uk, day, and hina. One. Moreover, or but, or and, let's put it over here. Moreover, not, what do we have here? Moreover, not one thing. These guys are going to singing classes. Don't worry about them. Moreover, not one thing. That's what this duvain. And it also, you can see in another place, udamia, and it means still, not one thing. Not one thing or nothing, or not anything, the words of which I have spoken. There's the word ta rema. That comes from reo. And that means, it means to flow, literally. And this is, there's different words for word in Greek. A lot of different words. This word for word here means an oracle. It means a complete speech. Something that flowed out of a man as a complete discourse. Now he said, not one thing, he says. Not one thing profits the flesh. Nothing in the flesh profits. Okay? Nothing is profitable in the flesh. But the words which I have spoken, the word rhema, the speeches which I have made, the oracles, the declarations which I have made, is what he's talking about. The declarations, the whole, when he spoke upon the Mount of Olives, when he made a declaration over there to the city of Jerusalem, he made a declaration to that city. That whole oracle or that whole declaration. Remember when, on the Mount of what they call the Mount of Beatitudes, when he spoke, blessed is he, and all this? That's one declaration. All the declarations which I have spoken, he said. Here, the words, that's accusative plural, by the way, which, literally witches. There's which in English, but in Greek there's which and witches. Plural. Okay? And then it says I here, that's nominative singular masculine first person pronoun. Our word ego comes from that word, ego. What does ego mean? When you study psychology, they talk about the ego of man. What makes you tick, the ego of man, the I. How many people did you say I every time they ever word, every word they say is I? They're so in love with themselves. That's the ego maniac, whatever you call it. That word comes from the Greek word I, ego. And then we have the word leka. That's first person singular, perfect indicative active, and it comes from laleo. Laleo is a word in Greek. There's, like I said, there's many words. Here we have two words right here. Luke is playing on words. Here we have a word words over there, and then we have another word for words over here. But this word for words here, speaking, it means to speak in human language. It's more than just saying something. God came down in John 1:14 in human flesh, and God became flesh. There was a time when God became flesh to be a kinsman redeemer to us. Okay? And in that human flesh, he spoke some things, these oracles. And how did he do it? By the means of the lips, little lips, by teeth, When you say something like, when you say teeth, you have to use your teeth to say it. And you use your tongue. And what's this down here? Down here, what is this thing down here? That's called what?
Voice box.
That's a voice box. God, by means of human speech, spoke these oracles through the person of Jesus Christ. There's a lot in these little verses, isn't there? When you look at it in the original language, I mean, it is something. He said, which I have spoken to ye. The words which I speak to you are spirit and life. Jesus said, my words are life. He said in another place, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Who's going to speak for and raise people? It said the Holy Spirit was going to do it right up here, didn't it? Is the Holy Spirit separate from the Son and the Father in any way, ever? No. When Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, was the Holy Spirit, did He experience that? Did the Father experience it? Is there anything that the Son ever does, or the Holy Spirit ever does, or the Father ever does, separate from the other? No. They all taste of it. You know what? When you're born again, how does God... He doesn't save your body, does He? He saves your spirit. But your spirit affects your mind. And Paul says, renew your mind in Jesus Christ. How often? Every day. How often does it take? Every day. Do you ever wake up one day in absolute sinless perfection and don't think you're going to have to do anything, repent of anything, or pray that day at all? That you woke up and you're just absolutely perfect? Not in this life. Now, some people might theologically say that, but I don't think they're right. Because the Word of God doesn't say that. I'll take the Word anytime. He is spirit. My words are spirit and they are life. The Word of God is what makes sinners, brings them to God. The Holy Spirit. And by the way, Jesus says, where there are gathered two or three in my name, and He's talking to His ecclesia, His church. He said, where there are two or three gathered together as an ecclesia, as a church, a called out assembly, He said, what? I will be in the middle of it. Didn't He? How is He going to do that? He told that church, He says, I'm telling you, you go to Jerusalem and you wait until you have power from on high. When He comes upon you, you go out. You go out. As you're going, He says, teach, make disciples, and then baptize those disciples. And when you look in the original language, by the way, you hear people preaching so many times, go out, go, that's a command of God. Going is not the command. Teaching is the command. You go, as you're going, teach, and make disciples. Make disciples is the command. In making disciples, you have to teach. Teaching them to hold closely, to observe all things which I have commanded you. What are those all things? The doctrines of the Word of God. The Word of God. Teach the Word of God. Teach it. Make disciples. Make habitual learners. And He said, I'll be with you until the end of the age. Those are commands of God. The command was, as you're going out there, you make disciples. Make disciples by teaching the Word of God. And the Word of God is life, and it is spirit. That's how God saves souls, by the preaching of the Word. Says Paul said, by the foolishness of the preaching of the Word of God. John 6 and verse 64. All. That's just like our English word all. See that same word, all. Essen. Ek. Hemon. Tenes, hoi, u, pisusen, ade, gar, ek, arkes, ho, asus, tenes, essen, hoi, me, Disyontes. Kai. Tis. Esten. Ho. Para dual son. Out tone. That first one there is a strong adversative conjunction. If you look on page 15 of the Benjamin Davis's analytical lexicon, you'll find that word and explained all about it. Strong adversative conjunction. He changes the subject abruptly. That's what that means. That's what a strong adversative conjunction is. Greek is a continuation of the same sentence tied together with conjunctions. Some of them are weak adversities, some are conjunctions, and some are strong adversative conjunction. The strong adversative conjunction changes the subject. Okay? That's what it does. All, and it comes from Allah. Allah. It's a shortened form because the next thing over here, the next word, starts with a vowel. And even a diphthong. Okay? All asen. Ek himon tines. Hoi u pisusen. Ede gar. Ek arkes. They would throw the words together and make it sound good. And the way, the reason why they did that is so it would sound good. It would sound better and more flowing than abrupt. Chick, 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 chick. Like that. They didn't want it to sound like that. They wanted it to flow. Okay? So they would change the way a word spelled sometimes so it would sound better. Then change the word, but change the spelling of it. What do you think about that, young lady? Greeks did things like that for beauty. For beauty. For beauty's sake. All hasten. All third person plural, present indicative active, that hasten there, that comes from Amy. Amy. All but they are out of ye. There are some out of ye who don't believe. That's what he's saying here. There are some out of ye who are not believers. You know what? When Jesus taught hard sayings, sometimes some of them left. You know what? No more powerful words were ever spoken to so few since the beginning of time as what he spoke to these disciples, which were his little ecclesia, his little church. But there's some out of you, he says, that him on there, that's an oblative plural second person pronoun, by the way, who, or you could say the ones, who, not, adverb of negation, page 299 in your analytical lexicon, if you want to look that up. Maybe you don't have one yet, some of you will get one. Not believing, dative, plural, masculine, present, participle, active. Some of them continued not to believe no matter what they saw. Not they believed. They just didn't believe. They continued not to believe. And then he says, for he knew. That word ede, that comes from oida. And this is third person singular, pluperfect indicative active. Pluperfect. That's a pluperfect word. What in the world is a pluperfect word? It's a completed tense. That's a Greek tense, all right. But pluperfect is a tense that is completed, but it's carried on. All the time that Jesus was on the earth, he knew. And he understood completely. He knew and he understood completely. All the disciples. Sometimes he asked them questions. Who touched me? One time. He said, who touched me? Do you think he didn't know who touched him? What did he say that? When he was in the garden walking with Adam in the garden, he said, where are you, Adam? Did he know where Adam was? Power went out of him. Dynamis power The word dynamis is the word for power. And our word dynamite comes from that word. Dynamite is very powerful. It said, power went out of me. Who touched me? Who touched me? He knew who touched him. He wanted that woman to say. And that woman was full of tears, crying, and she came to him. I touched you, and this is why. This is why. That poor woman had been hemorrhaging for years and years and years. She was dying. People, doctors had taken all of her money. She was bleeding to death and had been bleeding to death for years, hemorrhaging. And today, a woman would have to have a hysterectomy. But this woman here had been hemorrhaging. They didn't do those back then for many, many years. She was in terrible pain and agony, and she was dying. And she had spent everything that she had in this world to try to get well. And it was all gone. And she knew Jesus, if she only touched Jesus, that she'd be all right. And when she touched him, she was healed. And he knew that. But she admitted what had happened, since she had done it, and why. For he knew. Look at that word gar there. Gar. Gar is a casual particle or conjunction. And you can look on page 1190 in A.T. Robertson's Greek Grammar, or on page 75 in your little analytical lexicon, and look at that word. For. From or out of the very beginning, look at that word, ek. Remember, every time you go into a building, you'll see ek. Ekit. We call it exit, you know. Exit. You know what ekit means? Out of it. That's how you get out of the building, out of it. It's through that door right there. That's an exit. That's an out of it right there. And this is where the word ek comes from, the Greek word. Ek means out from. Or from the very beginning. From the beginning. Our case. Hoesus. The Jesus. Some. He knew who the some they are. Look at that word esen there. Esen. He knew the ones that continued to not believe. How many times do you think the Holy Spirit convicted Judas of sin? Judas Iscariot. Is. The man from Iscariot, that's what that Iscariot means, the man from Cariot, Iscariot, Iscariot, that's Hebrew, Ish, is the man from Cariot. That's what the word Iscariot means. The man from Cariot. How many times do you think the Holy Spirit convicted him of sin and righteousness and of judgment to come? Lots of times. You know that he was a treasurer in this church? He was the treasurer of this church right here. He was the man who held the money bag, the Bible says. From the very first church that Jesus found, there had to be a treasurer. Did you know that? Ungodly job, isn't it? The love of money is what? The root of all evil. And Judas was not separate from that. He loved money. One time a woman put some very expensive perfume on him. Cried tears on his feet, or else took her tear bottle and poured on his feet. We don't know which one. The same word is there. And dried his feet with the hairs from her head, either as she had made in a cloth to be buried with her, or else literally from her head. There's a lot of words in Greek, but a lot of things right there. All the Hebrews are very oriental, very emotional people. Every time a woman would cry in her life, whether it was a funeral or a wedding or a birth or a death, she would carry a little bottle around and catch her tears in it and then put the stopper in it. And that bottle was buried with her. It was a burial because that bottle represented all of her joy and sorrow in her whole life was in that bottle. Now, if this woman took that tear bottle and poured it on Jesus' feet, that was a very
sacrificial thing to do. Or she could have been crying too all the time. She could have been crying and poured that on his feet.
How many of you have ever seen a hair bowl? A hair bowl. Hair bowl. If you go in a museum and you go into one of these old dressing rooms, you'll see a little bowl sitting there with a lid on it like this. It's got a hole in the top of it. Have you ever seen one of those little things? Women would brush their hair, and the hair comes out when you brush your hair. Have you ever done that, young lady? Your hair ever come out of your head when you brush your hair? All right. We all shed, don't we, huh?
I've done it too much.
Me too. Well, women would take and put their hair in that little bowl. And then they would take that hair and they would weave it into cloth or little things. Sometimes women would make watch fobs. Now, we don't have pocket watches anymore, but a long time ago, people used to have watch strings or watch fobs that they tied on their watches, a string or a cord. And some of the women would make a cord out of their hair for their husband. Some of them would make cloth. Weave cloth and then weave gold and silver in it. And that was a very, and that could have been what the woman dried his feet with, was one of those cloths. Yeah. And it cut her hair much. But they combed it. And they would do that. And these are customs of the Bible. When you study the Word of God, you have to remember those things. But remember all of it when you're studying the Word, because it's all important. Some of them didn't believe. That woman believed. When she poured that precious ointment on Jesus' feet, he said, that's over a year's wages. Why in the world didn't you take that and cash it in, sell it, and give it to the poor? You know who the poor was that he's talking about? Judas. Talking about himself. I want it. He was pilfering the bag from what the Word says. He was a thief. He was pilfering the church money. You know what? They was embezzlers even back in Jesus' time. The first church had an embezzler in it. So it's not unusual that we have them today. You know, Jimmy Baker, when he went to prison, he didn't go to prison for adultery, did he? He went to prison for embezzlement. He was a thief. He went to prison because he was a thief. Thievery brings on other crimes. This first treasurer we had was a thief. And there were some from the very beginning who, Jesus knew who they are, the ones not believing. Look at that. The ones not believing. They just would not believe. No matter how many times the Holy Spirit of God convicted their souls of sin, they would not repent. There's an old story Ben M. Bogard used to say. He said, the same sun that softens the wax hardens the clay. When God's Spirit deals with some people's heart, their heart gets hard. Remember what happened back in Egypt with Pharaoh? It says in the beginning that Pharaoh hardened his own heart, middle voice in the Hebrew. Later on, after he had hardened his heart against God so many times, it says that God hardened his heart. Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and he kept on not repenting to the point of time that there was no turning around, that God hardened his heart. His heart was like a rock. Couldn't be touched then. It wasn't mold, it cracked and broke. And the rest of this verse, peace. Who? That's an interrogative pronoun, by the way. Who it is? He knew from the very beginning who it is, the one, paradosen, autun. The one, that's nominative, singular, masculine. All right, the one who shall be betraying. Future, participle, future and active. The one who shall be betraying him. The one who would betray him. Who was that one? Judas Iscariot. Judas, the man from Cariot. Iscariot. Remember that Hebrew word. You have any questions on this so far? Paradidomi is what the word comes from, that word who shall be betraying. That word means to hand over. To hand over. When you betray somebody, you hand them over. How did Judas betray Jesus?
He said, that's him way over there. Okay. How did he do it?
Yes.
He walked up and got a hold of him, and it says in the original language, he kept on kissing him. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just kept on saying Jesus and kissing him. He kept on betraying him. Said, here he is, grab him when I get a hold of him. Don't let him get away. How many times did Jesus got away in the past? How many times did he slip beside? And they were going to throw him off a cliff in Nazareth one time. And all of a sudden he disappeared. Every time they tried to kill Jesus, it says that they kept on trying to kill him. That's the imperfect tense. They continued to do it. Every place he went, they kept on trying to kill him. And the participles. He knows the one who would be handing him over. Who would be handing him over. And he literally handed him over. He grabbed a hold of him and said, get him. I got him. I'm going to hold him until you get him. And he held him until they got him. Isn't that something? What a traitor. What a traitor to God the Son. Well, we'll finish there for this week. And I'll